here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. Do the hucklebuck, do the hucklebuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Hello.
Hello, people of Earth, people of Earth.
Welcome to the hucklebuck. I am Steny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Steny. This is episode 691 of the Hucklebug. Just count them. I know you won't.
I know you won't. And six plus nine equals not one.
It equals 15.
But it starts with one.
But it starts with a one. You're right. You're right. It does start with a one. Let's do... Oh, you know what? We have a rip. We're going to begin this week with a rip. Yep.
Sadly.
Lou Gossett Jr. left us yesterday. Yes. I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before. Sad news. Yes. Bet, do you have a fake celebrity death you could also share?
Well, the last one I saw was a young woman with blonde hair, and I had no idea who she was.
Oh, you didn't know who she was.
So I didn't even post it. My favorite so far has been Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey's, the Howie Mandel one threw me for a loop.
You know, just when I decided I really liked seeing the people who died,
people who died.
Don't come up every day now.
Oh, so. Just as you were starting to like it.
Yeah, not one that, today.
That's how they get you. That's how they get you. Lou Gossett, though, did actually really die.
Yes.
Notable, of course, for being the first African-American to win Best Supporting Actor at the Oscars.
I will never forget, after he won, two people came out, and I think it might have been, I don't think it was Richard Gere, it might have been Deborah Winger and David Keith.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They came out to present an award, and they said, Louis Gossett Jr., and they stood up and they gave a salute.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
I'll never forget that for some reason.
He was a fine, fine actor, yes. And Bet and I were just talking. I know I did see him in Officer and a Gentleman. He's, of course, amazing in that. And then Roots, and I want to say Chicken George, but that was Ben Vereen. Was Chicken George. I can't remember his character's name. But boy, LeVar Burton posted just a lovely tribute to, you know, LeVar was only 19 and it was his very first role as Kunta Kinte. And he posted just a lovely tribute to Lou Gossett about how the actor took him under his wing and taught him everything he knows. And it was lovely. Rest in peace, Lou.
Yes.
I thought we might start doing this whenever we have a rip, maybe just to make things lighter. I discovered somebody who's still alive this week that surprised me.
Oh, okay.
Barry Gordy. Barry Gordy, the founder of Motown Records, still alive, 94 years old, and apparently like still going out and doing events and stuff because he was at some tribute for Martha Reeves or something like that just like in the last week. So
I can do that too.
All right.
Because from listening to 50s at 5, not only is Pat Boone still alive, he has a show.
Does he? Oh, he has his own show.
And it's pretty damn good.
All right. Well, good for Pat. You know what? I like Pat Boone. I mean, I don't like to listen to him, but I like, you know, like didn't he do like a heavy metal record in the 80s?
He did at one time.
Like that?
And you know, people give Pat Boone the foot because he did the soul songs that Little Richard should have gotten famous for and stuff.
Right.
But that wasn't his fault. That was the powers that be.
Of course.
They said, this is too dangerous. Let's give it to Pat Boone.
Right. Let's give it to Pat Boone. He's no threat.
Right.
All right. So in addition to Lou Gossett passing away, rest in peace, sir.
Yes.
There's several people who are actually still alive that you guys can continue to celebrate if you like. Now, we have a bunch of shout-outs, and we're going to do it.
Yes, and we're going to do it. We love you.
We love you guys. We're going to start. We do have two comments under our episode 689, our year-end show. The one I was bitching we didn't get any comments on last week.
Now, guess what?
Here they are. So it should be no surprise that our first shout out is for Doug. We are the Doug.
We are the Starcher.
And Dougie says, so sorry, we are out of practice too. So happy to hear you.
Yeah, thank you. I never thought about it from that point of view.
It's not just that. I think the Facebook algorithm just kind of screwed us. Because we got, you know, when we posted the missive or whatever, I think I just posted soon when I knew we were going to be doing a show again. I just posted soon. And we got tons of buzz off that. And then nothing when I posted the show. And I think maybe just the algorithm screwed us. Our second shout out right here
is from the very
Kelly with an I.
And she says, oh, sorry about that, ladies. I'll listen to it sometime this winter. Well, where do you live, Kelly with an I? Yeah.
Winter lasts a while.
Winter is still here.
I bet they're starting to emerge from winter in Colorado now. We sure are.
Thanks for making time for us at the end of the year.
It was our pleasure. It was our pleasure. It really was fun to get together and record that show. All right, now we've got some under episode 690 last week's show. Hey, Doug edited his comment. He respelled his sandwich. All right. Following on, we get Kelly with an I. She says, so comforting to have you back. Once I figured out a bunch of foods make me sick. Many foods I used to love are problematic, but apples and grilled cheese will always hold a special place in my heart. These are her answers to the Colbert questionnaire, by the way.
Things to throw out.
So many clothes. Yeah, I'm there with you. Scariest animal, roaches. That's about it. Roaches are smell. Best smell is right before snow.
Right before snow.
That's interesting. The smell right before rain is great. Worst smell, puke.
When you were a kid in school and somebody puked, everybody wanted to puke.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was the puke so much
as it was the sound.
They poured on the puke.
I feel like it was the sound. For me, it's always, if I hear somebody else puking, kind of activate
puke
me.
Puke is, oh God.
Puke's no fun.
Good
puke
one, Kelly.
Doesn't look good, doesn't smell good, doesn't sound good. It's a bad experience all around. Doesn't feel good either. Song, Kelly with an IE, she said she's going to go classical with us.
The Four Seasons.
Do. And she says The Planets is a great choice for you. I'll be honest, I'm not a big fan of Holst, but I'm glad that you enjoy it.
Well, thank you.
Look at her five words. This is great.
I like it.
Kelly with an IE, five words to describe the rest of your life. Be kind, be still, celebrate.
That's nice. Wonderful.
I love it. In fact, I'm going to love it right now. Boom. And then we are the Doug, et cetera.
And he said, did I include the muffaletta in the COVID food shipments?
You did not.
You didn't. He says it's a good sandwich. And boy, is it a great sandwich.
Well, I'll have to take your word for it because I did not get a muffaletta from Doug. And I've never had one.
Either, but I had one in New Orleans sandwich.
Yes.
And Mr. M, if he's out there, has a recipe for a muffaletta salad, which is all the ingredients without the bread. But a muffaletta, Doug.
Muffaletta.
Perfect.
Just look it up real quick. Classic. Ooh, I'm looking at pictures. That does look good. All right. Let me get away from it. Get away from it because otherwise we'll be there forever. Our next shout out is for Kelly with a Y.
With a Y. And she says,
huzzah.
Huzzah.
Huzzah. I am picturing
Nicholas Holt.
Yes. Nick Holt in
Catherine.
The Great. Yeah. You had the, yes, Kath, that's who it is. Catherine the Great. Our next shout out is for Marla.
And she says, welcome home. Well,
thank you.
We feel like we are at home and we're glad you're home with us.
Yes, it is nice to be home. And then Doug, we're out of Doug. Yay.
Et cetera, et cetera. He said, yay. And when you said he amended his post, I was thinking he amended how to spell yay.
No, it was muffaletta.
I didn't look up words.
It was muffaletta. He had,
right.
Muffaletta was spelled very strangely. Strangely, and I was like, yeah. I think he means muffaletta, but I don't know. I don't know what he's saying there. And then Kelly with an eye.
She says the huckabug. Jazz hands. Huckabug.
Jazz hands. And hang on, there's more. Look under the missive.
Okay, whose turn?
I have no idea. It's
I'll
Tina.
I'll take it. It's what is Tina.
What's her song? I don't remember her song.
What is Tina's song?
Shit. It's not Here We Come. That's Terry, right?
No, that's Terry.
Tina, we don't remember your song.
Tina. Shit. Oh, you've got to. You've got
or
to
did
correct
we,
this. We're,
had
we're...
we not chosen one yet? Because she was kind of a new commenter when we went off the air.
I can't help but think it would be Squeeze.
Yeah, I think it would be Squeeze too. What song do you want, Tina? Choose a Squeeze.
Tina, tell us what you want your shout out to be. But we'll give you a shout out. And she says, yeah. I'm away at the minute, but we'll catch up on Monday. Have a lovely Hucklebug Easter weekend.
Thank you.
And I am so far.
Thanks, Easter Bunny. Bonk, bonk. That was my favorite commercial. Do you guys remember that commercial? Is it for M&M's? I think it was for M&M's.
It is M&M's. Thanks, yeah. Eat Bunny.
Thanks, Eat Bunny. Bah, bah. It's so cute.
Of course, Tina won't know that because she doesn't see American.
No, because it's an American TV commercial.
Trust
but it's
us,
okay.
Tina. It's funny.
Do the rest of you remember? I'm gonna. I'll post it. It's on.
Oh
on
yeah, that would be YouTube. Great. Thanks, Eat Bunny.
Our final shout out on Facebook, anyways, for Doug. We are the Doug.
The Doug.
So happy you're back. We too are out of practice about commenting and shout outs. Steny, it feels like I've spent more time with Bette than you this last year. It does feel that way. It certainly feels that way to me.
Well, you all need to rectify that. You're close enough that you
it's
can
true.
Spend a lot of time together.
It's true. I think he's saying that he spent more time with you than I've spent with you, but it's probably also true that he spent more time with you than I've spent with him. Doug is actually one of the few people I did see a couple times during my little hiatus from humanity. I saw Mish regularly for video games on Thursdays, thank God. And I saw Doug a few times, especially early on. And I saw Marla a couple of times, but most people I did not see. Doug also says, love you both. Have a great show. Thank you, Dougie.
Yay.
And over on Hucklebug.com, we have three more shout-outs to get through, and we will do it.
Woohoo!
First one is from Marla. Marla, Marla,
Marla. Marla, 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 Marla.
Now, if you click on this link here, it is a Ray McDonald autograph. It's going
Joe,
for $102.
Yours.
$102. It's marked down from $120, although I noticed I notice it is not bought. I don't think anybody's going to buy Ray McDonald's signature for that kind of money. However, I'm going to be keeping an eye on this because if I can find
look
that,
for yours, please.
I have no idea where that is. I may not have it anymore, but if I do, I would love to have $102 for it because I'm not even really a fan. But let me look. Underneath, you got John Turturro. And his is $160. That just seems like better money spent. Everybody knows who John Turturro is.
Oh, but he was in Old Brother, so that says a lot to me.
He was John Turturro. I love him. Do the Right Thing. He was freaking amazing and Do the Right Thing, even though he was a dick. He was playing a dick.
The Hudsucker Proxy.
Hudsucker Proxy. As long as we're talking about Coen Brothers movies, he was also amazing in Miller's Crossing. And
oh God, I love that movie.
Oh, and he's so good in it. And what's the other one? I'll Show You Life of the Mind. Barton Fink.
Oh, Barton
Fink.
He was
the lead.
Yeah.
And he's also, he plays Mr. Monk's brother on Monk.
I didn't know that. I barely watched that show.
I watch that show a lot because it's one of my mom's favorites. But it's one of the shows that mom and I could watch and both enjoy. So
oh,
that was
good.
Fun. Anyway, back to our shout-outs here. Our next one's for Kelly
with a Y. And she says, hurrah, you're back. Huzzah. Bet I didn't like PB&Js when I was a kid. Their textures were different. That's true. I was mostly afraid of the jelly shooting out the sides of the sandwich because it's slippy.
True.
I do like them now, though. Good for you.
Yeah.
My current favorite sandwich would be a good French dip with odd juice. That was good. Paul's, my dad's favorite sandwich. Shit. He loved him some odd juice.
That is good shit.
So thank you, Kelly, with a Y.
My friend Les, he's a big fan of the French dip as well. Oh. That's typically what he orders when we go out. Yes.
And celeb autograph, Keanu Reeves.
I don't know if you guys know this, but Keanu Reeves is like Kelly with a Y's absolute favorite actor of all time.
That makes it even better.
Exactly.
She says, I was at the premiere and after party for his film, A Walk in the Clouds. And at the party, I was nervous, I can understand. Mm-hmm. So my friend took my program up to him and he signed it for me while I practically hide behind the flower arrangement. That is so me, Kelly with a Y.
Oh, that is. It's fun.
Every time, like, Squeezer R.E.M. came out, I was hiding behind something or somebody. Yeah. He was also very concerned how to spell my name correctly, according to her.
That's
sweet
nice.
Guy. What a great, like I said, in my autograph days, never had a bad experience. I'm so glad you had.
That's
a good.
That's good. Yeah. Everything I've heard about Keanu, he sounds like a really solid dude. I like, I think I like him better as a dude than as an actor.
Exactly.
But
he did have his acting chops, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Head, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Oh, yeah. Parenthood. I gotta say, Parenthood is my absolute all-time favorite performance.
He has my favorite line in Parenthood.
I bet I know what it is.
Anybody can be a father.
Yeah, you have to have a license to drive. You need a license.
Can be a father, but it takes something to be a dad.
Yeah.
Because he never had one. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Don't let any asshole be a dad.
Yeah.
Tina, our final shout out this week's for Tina.
Tina, we need a
song we don't remember. She says, welcome back. Only just caught up with the last two podcasts. Delighted you're getting back on track. Very happy Stenny's mom settled into her new home. Well, she hasn't really settled in yet, but we're working on it. We're working on it. She says, if you've not seen it already, a great film to watch about dementia is The Father with Anthony Hopkins and Olivia Colman. Boy, Olivia Colman, does she ever stop working? Every time I turn on the TV, she's in something.
Exactly.
She is in movies and television constantly. And when she's not, you know, she's in clips on the Graham Norton show and stuff like that that just pop up on my Facebook feed. I feel like Olivia Colman's following me almost. She says it's not the jolliest of movies, but definitely gives insight. Until next time, Tina. Thank you, Tina.
Yay.
Do please let us know what song you'd like us to sing. First of all, if we had chosen a song for you, let us know what it was.
Know,
and if we didn't, pick
if
one.
If we didn't, I'm thinking Squeeze, It's Not Cricket.
Ooh, It's Not Cricket is a good one.
I can't name names, bing, 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 it's not Tina. But it is.
Bing, 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 bing. I love that song. That's a fun song right there. All right, those are your shout outs this week.
Yay!
Two-thirds of our recording time, but that's okay.
But that's okay.
It's fine. We also spent a lot of time talking about a little bit about Lou Gossett and then a lot about people who are still alive. So, all right, let's move in to movies now.
Movies!
What do you got?
And there? I'll go first, I guess.
Bet's got a movie.
I do have a movie, and people, I gotta tell you. First of all, Stens, you have Comcast, right? Your cable.
I have.
Do you have the like cheapest upper tier you can have that gives you MGM?
I don't know if I have the MGM channel. I might. I don't have
because although I bought this movie on Amazon, it's now showing on the MGM channel,
so you can see it for free.
And you know, at the Oscars, Oppenheimer won everything.
Yes.
Because we're guilty about what we did with the bomb.
Sure.
But had it not been made, I can't help but think this movie should have won everything at the Academy Awards.
It did win one,
and it is American Fiction.
Oh, all right. American
Fiction. I love this movie.
All right.
And when I found out that it was on the MGM thing, I watched it again and I loved it even more.
Wow. All right.
I could talk for the next hour, which of course I won't, but
yeah, please don't.
But it's about a black man in academia who writes books that are not popular.
Yeah.
And so his college where he works say, you know, you're so angry about all this, just take a hiatus, go visit your family. Right. And he says, well, you don't know, visiting my family is not a hiatus at all.
Yeah.
But he goes to visit his family and everything happens from there. It's about black people who write books in Ebonics. Mm-hmm. And he hates that.
Yeah.
But it goes so many places and it's so great. Jeffrey Wright is the lead person in this.
Yeah.
His brother is Randall K. Sterling from This Is Us. And Robert Downey Jr. I know you made yourself up for Oppenheimer. Randall should have won Best Supporting Actor. He is just great. This movie is fantastic, and I love it so much.
Actors get their Oscars for not for the one they deserve, but for the one they should have gotten.
Exactly, and I say that for Alan F. Arkin. But,
Exactly.
But American Fiction, people seek it out. It is so great. It will make you laugh, cry, think, everything.
I don't know if I want to laugh and cry and think.
Oh, no, it's too great. Much. It's great.
No, I'm just teasing. I actually, while you were talking, I put it on my actual list. So I will check it out. I have a movie also. Mine is not quite as highfalutin as that, but mine instead was A Haunting in Venice, the latest in the Kenneth Branagh.
Oh, I didn't even know there was another one out.
It was in theaters, I guess. It probably was in theaters around Halloween. Haunting in Venice. This one's really more of a horror thriller than it is a mystery. I didn't like it as well as I liked the first two. You know, I've talked about the first two already. I really like them, and like I said, it's okay with me if Kenneth Branagh decides to make one every year. He can do that. A lot
and
of
apparently he does.
I'm all for it. I can't wait for the next one.
Well, I love me some Kenneth, so that's okay.
He's great. I do think maybe he could have benefited from somebody telling him no on this production. That's the case sometimes when you get an auteur.
Well, and the same thing when he was in his Shakespeare phase.
Yeah.
After Henry V, somebody could have said, back it off a little bit.
Yeah, pull it back a little bit. I don't think anybody really wants to see that. No, he should. You know what? I'm eagerly awaiting, and probably in about 10 years, I think Ken will be ready for it. Lear.
Oh, God.
Play King Lear. He'll be an amazing King Lear. But Haunting in Venice, what I objected to, a lot of it's shot in close-up a lot of the time. And I know it's on purpose. Because it's very disorienting and you never really feel like you have a sense of like how big the room is or where we are in the space and stuff, because everything's shot so close up, which I'm sure is done on purpose. It's supposed to put you on edge. You're supposed to, because this is more of a psychological thriller horror style than mystery. But I still just, one of the things I loved about Death on the Nile was the grand sweeping scope of it, you know, and just being able to, it was just such a feast for the eyes, and this one was not.
Oh.
On the other hand, when it ended, I was very satisfied with how the mystery resolved itself or how it was resolved. And, you know, the acting is all really good as usual. I did think it was weird that everybody was American. I didn't think that was, I felt like there were two or three characters where I'm like, well, surely those people should be French. And they are, here they are with their big American accents.
But was it a feast for actors, famous actors, you know, because the others were.
Not quite as much. I think this was Michelle Yeoh. Is Michelle Yeoh kind of the big name, I think, that was in it? Who are the actors? There's Michelle Yeoh. Oh, Tina Fey. I knew there was another big one. Tina Fey. And she was all right. She was okay. Yeah, those are the only big names. I don't know any of these other people. There might be people that other... Jamie Dornan. I don't know him.
Oh, wasn't he in 50 shades of
maybe.
Whatever.
Yeah, that might be why I don't know him.
And that's
Dylan
not
Corbett
good.
Bader, Ricardo Scamarcio, Fernando Pelloni. Yeah, so these are just other people I don't know. Who played that little boy? There's a creepy little boy in it. I will tell you that too. There is a creepy little boy. And
a boy from Deliverance.
No, not creepy in that way. Not creepy in that way. Well, you know what? I'm not going to say anything more about the little boy. I'm not going to say anything more about the little boy. It was interestingly, another character referred to him as creepy early on, and I was like, I don't think he's that creepy. And then at the end, he was suddenly super fucking creepy, and I was like, whoa, yeah, he is creepy. All right. So anyway, that's fun. I'm still going to give it a thumbs up. I thought it was good. It just wasn't
two thumbs up.
Yeah. What's your binge watch?
Well, I have a binge watch, and I should be very sorry to tell you about it, but I'm not unabashedly
not
sorry. And this has been a binge watch since we've been gone, and I mean for a month or maybe more. Every time I have an hour and a half, I get to my TV, and because I found it, I go back to Amazon Prime, where it is for free, people, please. It is an old television show that my sister and Taylor and I used to watch when he was about 11 years old. And it's called MXC.
Oh, I remember MXC.
Yes, the most extreme challenge.
What streaming service is this on?
It is on Amazon Prime for free.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is, when I saw it, I thought, oh man, I gotta go out and watch this. And see those episodes I saw before that made me laugh so much.
Yeah.
But all of these episodes are from seasons that I never got to see, so they're all new to me.
Right.
And I have to tell you, like I said, Pat Taylor and I, he was 11. This show is geared to the brain of an 11-year-old boy.
Yes.
It is in such bad taste. But the thing of it is, it's a show, it's a Japanese television show.
Yeah.
Called Takeshi's Castle.
Takeshi's Castle,
yeah. Yeah, where people dress up in weird costumes and they do all kinds of weird, dangerous stuff.
It's sort of an obstacle course type thing.
Exactly. But it's that show, only three people overdub it into English and they completely change everything about it. You know, they just they turn it into what the show is for us Americans.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is that I know it has to be scripted.
It's goofy as fuck.
But it's so the dialogue is so fast and so funny. And like I said, in such bad taste that, but sometimes you'll be watching it and they'll say something that just breaks me up into belly laughs. And I think I still have a season that I haven't watched yet.
I just added it to my queue.
It's hard to describe MXC, Amazon Prime. Just if you have like an hour of your time, go and watch a couple of episodes.
Watch it for a little bit and see if it's something that
you might be offended, or you might be like me.
You might be
and lowbrow
and really
like
enjoy
me.
It. Yep. Right you are, Ken.
Right you, indeed. Let's get it on.
And somebody's always named Baba Ganoush.
There's always a Baba Ganoush, yes. And one of the ones that I watched recently was, you know, there's two teams.
Yeah.
And this one was some team versus country singers.
Oh, oh dear.
God, we're already
I know. We have lots
and,
to do.
And one of the last country singers was Weedy Nelson.
Whoa, that's good. Weedy Nelson. I love it. Nelson. Let's see. All right. Next, I have an Ask Reddit question of the week.
Yes, I love these.
These are fun. They're fun to go through. This question is, what is not a deal breaker, but would be greatly disappointing to find out about your partner? Now, typically these questions, we assume that they mean romantic or marital partner, but you know, it could also be a friend, which is, you know, it's true. Yeah. And I, because I have kind of a story that will go with that. But first, we'll just go through a couple of things here. That
well, I have a.
What do you got?
They're a Trumper.
Trump. Well, see, that's a deal breaker. For me, that's a deal breaker. That
that's
is a
deal breaker. That's,
that is a deal breaker for sure. This is where you're looking for something that's not a deal breaker, but it would
oh,
be very
Oh, it's
difficult.
Not a deal breaker.
Not a deal okay. breaker.
Hmm.
So something a little smaller than that. So, for example, the top answer is they can only sleep on the same side of the bed as I do, and they want me to switch sides. So it's not a deal breaker, but it's disappointing. My boyfriend and I have been together for 11 years. I've had the same favorite TV show since before I met him, and he hates it. Obviously not a deal breaker, but it's pretty disappointing.
But that's a good one.
Yeah. When there's things they used to do with an ex but aren't interested in anymore. For example, I had an ex whose ex used to force them to do couples costumes at Halloween, etc. I never had a serious boyfriend before and desperately want to do couples costumes, but he's over it. So that's a good one. Doesn't put bowls upside down in the dishwasher? Excuse me, that's a deal breaker. That's a deal breaker. Come on. Somebody below them wrote, dishwashers are mystery boxes to way too damn many people. putting unwanted items back in the wrong place at the supermarket. That's a good one. That's I agree. That's
yeah, that's a good one, yeah.
Maybe not a deal breaker, but it's annoying. And not returning the shopping cart. That's also very aggravating. My dad hates movies with subtitles. My mom is a foreign film buff. She's been trying to change him for decades, and while he will sit through and sometimes even enjoy them on occasion, he'll still groan anytime she suggests a movie with subtitles.
Well, I do that with other people, so yeah, that's not a deal breaker, but yeah.
This is a good one. This is a good one. When you're watching a TV series together and he or she watches an episode without you, that's a betrayal. I agree. That's almost a deal breaker for me. Can't do
well,
that.
Mine is when you're watching a movie or TV show or whatever, and the people you're with just want to talk and you're watching, but they're halfway watching. Hear. So they're halfway watching. Not a deal breaker, but really gets on my nerves.
This person's answer, this for me would be a deal breaker. It says, in college, I watched the movie Donnie Darko for the first time. And when it ended, I had so many questions and was analyzing the meaning behind it. Tried to talk to my then boyfriend. He seemed disinterested. Finally, after a half hour she's carrying on. Finally, after a half hour, he says, can you please stop talking about it? It's just a movie. You're just supposed to enjoy it, not analyze it. That's a deal breaker for me.
That's a deal breaker.
We got to talk about movies we've seen.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's the Hucklebug. When you plan to watch your favorite movie together at the theaters, but they've already seen it with friends, that's another one it's not. Ooh, this is a really good one.
Okay.
If they are a sock, shoe person and not a sock, shoe person. Archie Bunker would have a thing or two.
Oh, yeah.
Rudy Tootie, here comes Shoe Booty. So here's my little story. This is the reason that this one kind of struck me as funny. A couple of years ago, I was browsing the website Goodreads. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Goodreads, but it's a website where you can rate books, and it's a social media as well. So you can like link with your friends, and then you can see what books they've read and what they're going to read next, and what they think of books. And I have exactly two friends on Goodreads. I mean, I may have other friends, but I have two people I've linked with on Goodreads, and they're Jelly Bean, our old listener, Jelly Bean.
Oh, Jelly Bean.
Jelly Bean and Mish, my best friend.
Oh, yes.
And so I was just kind of going through one day, and I was rating a bunch of books that I'd read. And then I thought, well, I'm going to see what Jelly Bean's been reading, and I'm going to see what Mish has been reading. And I'm going through Mish's books, and she has rated, so you can rate books 1 to 5 stars. And she rated Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which I think you all know is one of my favorite books of all time. She only gave it 3 stars. Ooh. And I was so disappointed. When I saw that, I was like, I don't even know who you are. Are you kidding me? Because it's not just, I mean, people are allowed to like what they like and what they don't, obviously. But in most ways, taste-wise, Misha and I pretty much dovetail pretty nicely, and I know she's a fan of sci-fi. Like, for example, Bet, I wouldn't expect you necessarily to enjoy Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy because you're not a sci-fi fan.
I never got all the way through it. Took it on the train when I went to Reno. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're not a sci-fi fan, so I get that. But Mish is a sci-fi fan, and we do like a lot of the same sci-fi things. So I was a little devastated, to be honest, to learn that she only gave it 3 stars. She only thinks it's good, not excellent.
But so that's not a deal breaker for you, because it's
not Mish. A deal breaker. Yeah, I'm not gonna. Yeah, I'm not gonna break up with her. But you know, I think that's enough. You guys have any that are not a deal breaker, but would still be disappointing to learn?
Wow, I can't think of any right offhand.
Let's
move on.
That's
a thinker for me.
It is. It's a good one. It's a good thinker. A lot of the ones that, a lot of the ones in the answers are things like Trump. I'm like, no, you guys, that's a deal breaker. That's a deal breaker.
That's a deal breaker.
Something that's not a deal breaker, but still kind of makes you go, oh, that's not what I thought. All right, Bet, you have a phraseology?
Yes, I do. And it's kind of odd. It's a wordology, actually. It's not out there for discussion. Apparently, this is what it is. But it's something I've been thinking about over the past few weeks for some reason.
All right.
And the question is, what do we call a raspberry?
Raspberry, that's right. I remember you saying that.
Yeah, and I looked it up, and apparently there's an answer for that.
All right.
And it says, and I think this came actually from Wikipedia of all places, the term blowing a raspberry is believed, and why did I not even imagine this in my mind? We did a whole segment on this on the Hucklebug.
Yeah.
Is believed to have originated from rhyming slang in the United Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
The phrase raspberry tart is used to refer to a bodily function that is often accompanied by the sound of a raspberry being blown. Raspberry
fart.
Fart. This fart. Slang term has been in use for many years and has become a common way to describe the act of making a rude noise by placing the, you know.
Everybody do a raspberry while you're listening to the Huckleberry. You ready? We're gonna do a raspberry on three. Is everybody ready?
Ready.
1, 2, 3.
It was so easy. Why did I should have known.
No, I like that. I like that it's
Raspberry tart.
To both of us. Raspberry tart. And it's just fart.
Or in the using rhyming slang, you could just say, well, I give that a tart.
That's a tart. All right. Let's do you rules. And then we have a topic.
Yes.
We have an actual topic this week. The show's just going to keep going, but don't worry, you guys, we're not here next week. So if you've already listened as much as you can for 1 week,
you can listen in two parts.
Just put it on pause and then listen to the rest next week, because I'm going to be at dad's. My U rule this week is for the wonderful staff at Providence Hospital, where my mom has been staying. She's getting better care there than she was getting from her doctor here in Bellingham, I think. Her doctor here in Bellingham was not interested at all in giving her any more medications, which is not, and by the way, when I say that, and it's not like mom was on a million medications already. She was only taking 3 prescription pills, which is not that many for a person of her age. But he was like, no, we're not going to do that. I'm like, well, we need to do it or she's not going to be able to stay there. But the staff at the hospital, they've just been wonderful with her, and they've been great about keeping me informed on her progress. And, you know, and they call every once in a while and I chat with her and stuff. And they've just been great. So I wanted to give them a U rule. Thank you to Dr. Rice and Maisha, who's the... she's the social worker that's been assigned to mom's case. She's been fantastic. Everybody's just been great. So thank you.
Yeah.
And you rule. Who's your you rule, Bet?
Well, my you rule this week, of course, is to the boys, the local boys, the Bluefield boys, who work and own Hometown Shell, which is the gas station /
where you get your... I know.
Where I get my inspection sticker.
Yeah, the inspection.
And all of the taillights that the Pubmobile eats that I have to have replaced over and over. And this week, it kind of made me laugh because I knew it was coming up on the end of the month and this is the time I have to go get my sticker. And San at work earlier in the week was just giving me the business about this because her granddaughter went there to get her inspection sticker and they gave her a big X because of her.
Oh, brain. No.
And she said, they're awful. Kendall was trying to argue with them and tell them her car was only like 3 years old. The brakes should be fine. But no, they gave her the big X. And I said, well, I've always had good luck there. And she said, well, good luck on you, because I know your brakes are the thing you worry about.
You know,
and I had all that work done, you know.
Yeah.
And so I went there, got my inspection sticker within like 10 minutes, got the pass. But I also have to say that Jim, who was over the garage section of it.
Yeah.
When we were in high school, we weren't friends. We knew each other, but we weren't friends.
Sure.
And he was a year behind me. And, you know, I was in the band and, you know, had friends and stuff. And he kind of wasn't, you know, he was just a kid in school. But now, when I go out there on my cane limping around, he's over me. You know, he's the king in adult life. But he's so nice to me.
Oh, that's great.
I love the boys at Hometown Shell. Just living in a small town, people. It's great.
It's nice. It's nice I miss that. I was talking earlier in the show. I said something about, or maybe it was before we started recording. I was talking a little bit about when Bellingham still had that small town feel to it. It does not anymore. Yeah. It's really more of a city now, but I do miss the days when it kind of had that small town feel. All right. We have a topic this week, and Beth, this is your topic, so I'm going to let you introduce it.
Okay. Well, it came when we were at work one day, and Pat, who doesn't do Facebook, but boy, she goes to Brian's and scrolls up and down. She started a topic in the office, movies that make you cry your eyes out.
Yep. Yep.
And we talked
about
and she read a few. But I thought this would be
a good thing for us to talk about.
Now,
so, listeners, I hope you're all thinking that you're
five
right.
Five or three?
Oh, five. I thought five.
Okay. Well, I've got six.
I also have six. So perfect.
And I can't wait to hear yours, because I know you'll have some that I will die that I missed.
Only two of mine ended up being Pixar, by the way.
Oh.
So I'm going to start, and these are in no order. These are not in order of how much they made me cry.
Mine kind of are.
These are kind of in the order I thought of them. And I'm going to start with the very first thing I thought of when you mentioned this topic, the very first movie that came to my mind, Ordinary People.
Oh, really?
God, yes. I love that movie.
That movie leaves me so cold.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, Mary Tyler Moore leaves me cold, but Timothy Hutton and Donald Sutherland and Judd Hirsch, God, they all do such great work in this movie. It's just a beautiful movie. And the scene where Conrad's breaking down and he's talking about his brother drowning.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it.
And the story it tells is truly heartbreaking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Mary Tyler Moore is amazing in the movie. She's just, I mean, she's cold, but that's, you know, who the character is. Okay. But yeah, that movie made me cry like a baby.
Okay, well, I'll do my number five.
All right.
Which is Schindler's List.
Schindler's List. See, I don't have Schindler's List.
And the reason why it makes me cry so much is not, you know, that scene everybody knows where they're on the train and Schindler is saying, oh, this ring. Yeah. I could have given this ring. But to me, the crying part is after all that's over and they show the scene of the real people Schindler saved and they're walking out and putting stones on the that same breaks here. My ass.
That was the only scene where I cried in that movie.
Yeah.
Was the end credits where everybody's putting stones on his grave. I would agree with that. My second movie, this is probably, in terms of volume of tears, this is probably the one that made me cry the most. Coco.
Oh!
Coco, well, Coco hits close to home, obviously, because, you know, the abuela in it, she has dementia.
Oh, that's such a beautiful
that,
movie.
And that song, Remember Me, just reduces me to a puddle. But Coco, what a beautiful movie. What a beautiful movie. But I cry my eyes out.
Yeah, my number four is To Kill a Mockingbird.
I almost put To Kill a Mockingbird. To Kill a Mockingbird, it's interesting.
And several different times in that movie.
It never made me cry when I was a kid. It's only in like the last 5 years now. Now when I watch it, I cry, but I never did when I was younger.
Hey, I'm Jean Louise.
Hey, boo.
But when Jean Louise is with all of the angry men.
Oh, yeah.
But at the end, when Boo shows up, when Boo shows up, I boohoo like a baby. Yeah. Actually, I boohoo like a baby when it starts now.
Yeah, I know.
I know it'll be because of that.
The score to that movie is just beautiful. Now this next one, I may have told the story before of going to see this movie and being so stupid as to not to have brought tissues with me. Because this movie is based on a beloved book that I devoured as a child and reread like once a week from the time I was 9 until I was probably 15 years old.
I think I might know.
Bridge to Terabithia.
That was one of the ones we talked about in The Office.
Yeah, Bridge to Terabithia.
It's not on my list, but boy, do I understand it.
And the scene that does it to me is the scene after, there's going to be spoilers, you guys. If you've not read or seen Bridge to Terabithia, pause right now and then go watch it. or read the book. It's a kid's book, so you can read the book quick. But the scene after Leslie dies and Jess has gone back to school and the teacher calls him out to the hallway, and it's the teacher that they hated and made fun of. And she calls him out into the hallway and she tells Jess that she's so sorry that he lost his friend and that she had just lost her husband. And that, I just talking about it is starting to make me cry.
Oh no.
And I remember it made me cry when I read the book too. And the book used to make me cry also. So again, it was really stupid of me to go to the movie and not bring tissues. I think I just was like, well, I'm an adult now, I'm over it. But no, that's not the case. I think I had a couple of like greasy napkins from my popcorn. And I was just sniffling into it the whole time. But a beautiful movie, Bridge to Terabithia. What do you got next?
Well, my next two have a certain theme running through them, as you will guess. Number three is My Dog Skip.
Oh, yeah.
A movie about a boy and his dog.
Yes.
And at the theater that my sis and I saw it, we were trying to stifle our tears at the closing credits. And then we heard a grown man behind us.
Of course.
Just boo-hooing his eyes out. So it was okay.
Yes.
And the thing of it is, the end of the movie is so beautiful and will make you cry. But there's also, before a really ugly plot twist that, you know, makes it an adventure.
Yeah.
There's a scene where Skip's owner kind of doesn't like him anymore because he's kind of become a laughing stock, and he takes his baseball mitt and he throws it at Skip, and Skip runs away. That started the crying for me.
Yeah.
Is about a dog for the ages, and we know how that goes.
Yes. Well, I haven't seen, so I have a tendency to avoid movies like that if I know they're going to make me cry. So that's why I have not seen My Dog Skip or Marley and Me
And the thing of it is, should I say this? You know, you don't see Skip die. You just know after the end log that he has passed.
Yeah.
And how special he was.
Good old Skip. My next one after Bridge to Terabithia, I don't know if you remember this movie, and it seems to me that maybe we have both seen it, but maybe not. There is a French movie called Ponette that's about a little girl who loses her mother. Have you seen this movie?
No.
I think I saw it in film school.
Say it again.
Ponette, P-O-N-E-T-T.
Oh, Ponette. I have heard of that movie. I've not seen it.
There's a little girl, and it's... There's one scene in this movie where that little girl is crying her heart out, and if you don't weep when you're watching it, you are a robot. Oh. I think even robots would weep. Although I do have to say that as I watched that scene, I'm like, what were they doing to this poor kid to make her cry so much? How did they get this kid to cry so much? But it's I don't really remember too much else about the movie. I just remember that one scene, and it's it would be hard not to bawl. So Ponette, that's maybe my one sort of off the grid movie. What do you have next?
Okay, my number two, movie is Hachi, A Dog's Life.
Hachi, that's the American one I was version to
with yes. Richard Gere, which is yeah. great. But
I said Hoshi a second ago, but Hachi is what I was thinking.
But the Japanese original is, I think, called Hachako.
Yeah, maybe. I don't remember.
It's a story about a what are they called? Ina, Japanese Ina doll.
Shiba Inu.
But it's about a man who kind of adopts a stray dog, and this dog is so attached to him that in the middle of the movie, the man dies. And the dog goes to the train station where he came out from work every day.
Yeah.
And I mean, they take the dog in, they send him away to another place. He runs away. He goes to the train station to wait for his person at the train station. And, you know, it's a true story. And there is a statue.
There's a statue to Hachi there now.
This movie will break you up in so many ways.
That's another one that I haven't seen, and that's why. I do avoid them if that's going to happen. You know, one that I thought about but didn't include was United 93. And I remember United 93 affected me greatly, but I don't think I cried. I was stressed out. But
I may have cried.
I might have cried, but I don't think I cried that much.
And what a brilliant movie that is.
Yeah, it's a fucking
great movie. Paul Greengrass.
Yeah, but that's one of those movies that I've seen it once, and I'm glad that I saw it, but I will never see it again.
Oh, God.
It was too hard. My next one is my second Pixar, which is Inside Out.
Oh, I love
Inside Out. Such a great movie, and that's one of the ones that I remember that I was crying louder than the kids. The kids were crying too, but I think mostly though it was adults that were crying at Inside Out, and not so much the kids.
But the reward is that the ending credits have funny outtakes.
Oh yeah. For sure. It's not a sad movie. It's a really good. In fact, I think it's probably one of the better movies about mental health I've ever seen. I think it's a brilliant movie. I love the idea that we all have these five, you know, like key emotions, and you have a different one running you. I love that. And the idea of core memories, and you know, where memories are stored and how you remember them and all of that. I just think it's genius. I think it's a really smart movie. But there's some heartbreaking stuff in there too, like Pixar does. And what else have you got? Last one?
My number one. No mistake, it is my number one for all time. Cinema Paradiso.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And it's an Italian movie about the love of movies.
Yeah.
And a man who grows up in a small Italian town. And you learn all about it. And then he ends up being a famous film director.
Yeah.
And goes back to his hometown for a very sad occasion.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie will make me cry forever.
Yeah, it's that ending.
I can remember, it's the last scene. I mean,
yeah,
I cry from the beginning because I know how it's going to end.
Right.
But it, the last scene of this movie just breaks me up. And I can remember years ago going back to Granny and Paul's house and sitting in the den and, you know, turning on their cable. And here comes Cinema Paradiso. And I was watching it. And Granny came in and sat in the recliner. And the last scene came up and she saw me. Just start to bawl.
Yeah.
Ben, Ben, are you okay? I'm okay.
Without the context, the last scene is maybe not as.
Oh, my number one crier for all time.
Yep. That's an excellent choice. I did not even think of Cinema Paradiso, but yeah, the ending to that movie for sure makes me cry also. My, the five that I've mentioned were the first five I thought of, but I did think of a sixth, which also makes me cry every time I watch it, and I watch it a lot. It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, yeah.
I cry twice in It's a Wonderful Life. I cry when George... when little George goes, don't hurt my Sawyer again, don't hurt my Sawyer again, when he's getting slapped by the druggist. And then the end, of course. The end. You know what the line that gets me at the end is when Annie, the maid, comes in and puts her money in the bucket and says, I've been saving this money for a divorce if ever I get a husband. Which, my apologies if that's racist, but that's exactly how she talks.
Yeah.
That moment makes me fall.
One bubbling under that I never thought of until today. Mr. M just put a thing on my Facebook that said Dean Spanley, which he thinks is funny, but it's a movie we watched together,
Dean Spanley,
which is also about dogs, starring Peter O'Toole, where he's a man who imagines himself reincarnated. In his earlier life, he was an Irish setter.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I forgot all about Dean Spanley.
Dean Spanley.
Yeah. That's a good movie. Ooh, that's
yeah,
a good
thanks,
one.
Mr. M, for that.
That's a nice little hidden gem out there. If you guys go look for the movie Dean Spanley. That's a good little movie.
Spanley as in Spaniel.
As in Spaniel, yes. All right, well, gosh, how long have we been recording here?
We've been recording since 1969.
It's been 84 years.
gravy!
We've been recording for just about a little over an hour, but I think we started the show right about an hour ago. So we got a little extra. We got a little extra for you this week. It'll hold you over, because as I mentioned, we're gone next week.
Oh, but you'll have to edit tomorrow. I'm so sorry.
I might have to edit tonight because I'm driving tomorrow. So we'll see. I'll get some of it done tonight and probably the rest done tomorrow night. The show will be up eventually, everybody. Don't panic if it's not up right on Sunday. It won't be. If it's up Sunday, it'll be up late because I'm not even going to get Dad's until around 6 o'clock probably. And then, you know, then we got to hang out and have dinner and get drunk. So, you know, it'll be busy. It's going to be busy. You'll be busy getting drunk. All right. We got to go. My cats are snoring their heads off out here. I don't know if you can hear them.
Probably Milo's not. Under the table again. Milo.
Scout's really far away. If I could get the microphone over there, you would hear her. She is snoring up a storm.
I'm not hearing anything.
No, it's too far away. I can't reach it. I'm excited to watch MXC. Did we close? We haven't closed. Let's close. Let's close the show. I feel like we've moved on to our post-show chat. We need to finish the show. You guys, thank you so much for listening and for tuning back in. We do appreciate you all hanging out for the majority of 2023 when we were doing nothing at all.
One week off, then we're back.
1 week off, and then we are back on our bullshit. So get ready.
You'll love our bullshit, people.
You're going to love our bullshit. So we'll be back the week of, let's see, we'll be recording again on the 13th.
I'm there.
And Scout and Lincoln have a vet appointment, so I'll probably have a pet story for
Ooh.
You. All right, so enjoy the week off, everybody, and then we'll be back with regular shows again after that. Till next time, I am Stenny.
And I'm Bet.
We are Bet and Stenny, and you've been listening to The Hucklebug. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thanks, bye. We love you. I love.
That's the way you do it when you do The Hucklebug.
You did a tart.
You just did a tart right there.
Did you just do a tart?
Have you tarted?